Well, a lot of you have been emailing me about the special apps on your phones when we get going here for BlackBerry and your Android apps. We already have the iPhone app. And I told you when I got back to LA, I'd check on it. And our app provider will provide us with a framework app soon. And we should get things ready around mid-October. So those for BlackBerry and Android, you'll be able to pick up StreamLink Host Insiders that way as well. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take calls with Mark Lerner on Coast to Coast AM. Do you see any major political problems in terms of geopolitical problems in the next year or two, Mark?
You want to go for another couple hours, George?
Oh, my gosh.
Just teasing. I'm glad you brought that back up. I mean, you mentioned the Iran thing. You
Yep.
know, that keeps popping up. Benjamin Netanyahu is here. You know, there. We get a lot of camouflage news conferences, as you can imagine. You being in this business for so long, you see these people parsing their words and using very careful language. And you know, behind the scenes, there's some pretty serious discussions going on. You know, when might an Israel get fed up with A, B, and C? You know, would they go in and try and do something like they did against the Iraqis back in, what was it, 1980? With their nuclear reactor, things like that. But the world has changed so much, and it's so much more dangerous that it just seems like some of these things, hopefully, I mean, we will not see something that would be a new Armageddon. I mean, we're already concerned, as you know very fully with so many of your guests, with the 2012 situation. You know, what could that mean with the Mayan calendar, the sunspots, solar activity, all these kinds of things that could come to pass. The last thing we need is nuclear strife, you know, things like that. So hopefully cooler heads will prevail. I'm doing a lot of research going back to the Cuban Missile Crisis time period when President Kennedy and his brother Robert Kennedy, and anybody can read this through 13 Days by Robert Kennedy and some other books. I mean, that was an unbelievably strong astrological time period. I probably have never seen such a 2-week time period of astrological intensity as happened at that point when the world basically was careening toward nuclear disaster. So that's one of my special research projects I'm working on now. And I just hope that the cycles that are coming up, that I don't have to really write about it too soon.
Well, let's hope not. Okay, let's go to some of the calls. We'll go to Susan, first-time caller in Los Angeles. Hi, Susan.
Hi, George.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
Good, Susan.
Well, first of all, you are the best. I'm a huge fan, and I'm so excited to talk to Mark tonight, too. So thank you guys so much.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you. Well, my major question is, I've been studying astrology since I was a child, and I'm, you know, very actively involved in it. And I've been gaining weight for absolutely no reason, and I was wondering what kind of transits might cause that to happen.
What's the word? You've been what? What's the problem?
Weight gain. What kind of
Oh,
transits cause weight gain?
okay. Well, weight gain is often associated, oddly enough, with Jupiter because it is the largest planet. So usually it's not a Saturn type of thing, which tends toward, I mean, psychologically and emotionally, Saturn tends toward people being more thin or leaner. And Jupiter, also ruling a water sign, and it's said to be exalted in the sign of Cancer, which is also a water sign. So it somehow or another, it would be some alignment that is affecting your natal Jupiter, or the transit of Jupiter in Pisces or Aries is affecting, in some kind of alignment in your chart, one or two planets. Now, that's just the superficial kind of thing. When a person like myself does a write-up or an analysis, one looks at not only transits and the birth chart itself, but then would inquire about the types of foods that you're eating, other things that may have happened in your life, psychologically, emotionally, changes that have occurred. And then there's also what's called the progress chart. And sometimes what happens, a progress chart, everybody has a progress chart, and it underlies the natal one. And it's more of an emotional, psychological, spiritual kind of chart where we're all gradually evolving sort of under the surface. And those, there can be slow-moving changes that occur there, again, maybe with Jupiter in your birth chart or by progression. And that could represent so many months or even a year or two where it just is impossible to do the dieting thing, or things just don't work the way you want them to work. Otherwise, you know, the other big thing is to, like, so many people do now is work with affirmations and start combining things like daily affirmations, using some of these principles like the I Am principle and other kinds of things, using one's will energy, and that's not always easy to tap into, and then try and solve it that way.
Oh, that's terrific. Well, thank you so, so much.
Sure.
All right, Susan.
Good talking to you. Bye, George.
Absolutely. Bye. How many astrologers are out there, Mark? I mean, you're one of the top. I mean, do you have a group of people out there?
When I did Welcome to Planet Earth, George, as a full-time magazine, there were about two dozen great astrologers and writers who would write articles, and then they had their own practices, and a lot of them sort of developed their skills back in the 80s and 90s by writing these articles, and then they ventured forth and did their own thing. What's happening is there's a profusion on the web, of course, you know, with a lot of new people. My concern is that I was fortunate enough to learn from the best and brightest astrologers of the 20th century.
Right.
People like, you know, these were just fabulous people. When I first learned and I was in New York City, there weren't that many books that you could get that were available. And then you'd have to special order things often from Great Britain or other countries and things like that. But, the key thing is whether people actually learn. There are a lot of people out there who don't even know how to construct a chart, you know, from the beginning, because everything is now automated through software, you see. And
that's
so
right.
A lot of people don't know the mathematical fundamentals, and yet they can still be great astrologers, and they can read a lot of great books. But I think a lot of the older wisdom is getting lost, and that's something through my website and what I try and do. I try and share the wisdom of a lot of the people who have taught me.
Okay, next up we go to Eric in Lansing, Michigan. It's your old alma mater area.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Great.
East of the Rockies. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi, Mark. Hi, George.
Hi.
I've been listening to the show for 13 years. I'm dedicated. I listen every night. Are you still in the area, Mark?
Well, I'm not in Lansing or East Lansing. I'm in Oregon, but I have fond memories of my time at Michigan State.
I just moved from Portland myself.
My
question is about Ophiuchus. I guess that's my sign. I'm November 30th, and I wanted to know what you could tell me about that sign.
Well, you have to be a troublemaker, don't you? You have to add you have to add the 13th zodiacal sign, right?
That comes along with the name Eric.
Well, there is this kind of thing both in the scientific area of astrology, and then there's actually two astrologies, because there's the Eastern India, literally India type of astrology, and there's the Western astrology, and a lot of scientists and people who want to prove astrology wrong want to go in there and put another zodiacal constellation, because over in that area around November, December, there's another group of stars. If you're born November 30th, my friend, you're a Sagittarian, so let's not make you an Ophiuchus or something like that. That sounds pretty exotic, and I wouldn't stop you from actually investigating things about that particular constellation as an add-on, but if I did your chart, or if any professional astrologer that I know of, you know, one of my friends or colleagues did work on you for November 30th of whatever year, and we had your time of birth and place, believe me, we could do plenty with Sagittarius as your main sun sign, and then work with wherever the planets were. So I would not start venturing forth. I try and get away from all the mumbo jumbo and to do things as logically and as sanely and as carefully on a scientific level. That's what I've learned in 38 years. I mean, astrology actually reforms your psyche, because the more you work with a circle of 360 degrees and putting things in different houses and learning what these symbols are, it actually helps you to become a clearer thinker, believe it or not. So astrology is not only a great field of study, but it actually helps retrain one's mind and how you look at life and how you look at people.
Wow, thanks a lot, Mark. It's a great answer. Long live coast to coast.
You got that right. What about pitfalls, Mark, for people? A lot of places, as a matter of fact, up and down Ventura out here in L.A., you see these places with their little psychic and astrologer shingles, little buildings. I mean, what do you recommend? People can go in there for fun, but do you take it seriously? What?
I totally agree with what you just said. As an 18-year-old, before I ever got into astrology, I went to two places on a lark. It was really interesting, though, because both psychics said, you're going to live to be 84 years. Well, at any rate, later on I learned that the planet Uranus has an 84-year cycle, and it actually rules my birth chart because I'm an Aquarius rising person. Well, I found that to be very intriguing, but I think I only paid $10 each for the reading, and I wouldn't suggest people to go to those or hold too much stock in those kind of things. You know, people still work a lot with the daily sun sign answers, wherever they get them, on the web or in the newspaper, and that is really, you know, that is not the way to go, and it's not certainly anything that I or a professional astrologer is really doing on a major level in our work.
Let's go to Ontario, Canada. Yvonne, you're up with us on Coast to Coast on the Wildcard Line. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi. I feel privileged to have gotten through. I've studied astrology myself for many years, just slowly, bit by bit, through reading books and practicing, and so. Myself, I'm a Scorpio rising Virgo with a moon in the very beginning degree of Leo. I've been going through a lot of transformation and kind of rough times for the last few years. And I guess I feel like I'm coming out of it into something new. And I guess economically, since you're sort of focusing on the economy and all that sort of thing, that would be an area of focus for myself and my personal situation.
Right.
Is there anything, let's see, 18 degree midheaven Uranus conjunct in Leo, Neptune conjunct ascendant in Scorpio.
Well, you know your stuff, Yvonne. You know your stuff.
Yeah, at least I think I do. And I don't know, 23 degree Virgo, moon 1 degree Leo. I don't know. Is there anything that comes to mind?
Well, first of all, a couple little things, and this is not just for you as a Scorpio rising, but let's tell every single person out there listening, if you are a Scorpio rising and you read books and says Pluto rules your chart, guess what? Mars rules your chart. Mars has always been the traditional ruler of Aries, the first fire sign of the zodiac, and Scorpio, the eighth sign, which is a water sign. And Mars, for thousands of years, has always ruled Scorpio, and it still rules it. And the reason why it still rules it is Mars has a two-year cycle around the zodiac, makes every conjunction, every opposition, every trine, whatever you want to call those alignments, every one of those alignments Mars will make in 2 years, whereas Pluto, which was dubbed the ruler of Scorpio back, maybe 10 years or so after it was discovered in 1930, Pluto has an affiliation with your sign, but it moves much too slowly to rule in the way that we work with rulership. Now, part of the challenge you went through over the last few years, and this is true for any sun sign Virgo, and you said you had a moon in early Leo,
yeah.
Saturn, good old Saturn, we were talking about it earlier, which is now in Libra, tends to spend about 2.5 years per sign, approximately.
Okay.
So in the previous 2.5 years, every Virgo on the face of the Earth had Saturn crisscrossing his or her sun, going on top of it once or maybe three times.
What
Saturn,
degree is Saturn right now in Virgo? Is it in Virgo now?
Yeah, it's about four. Let's see, where is it right now? Yeah,
so I think it's right near my sun now.
Okay, well, it's in Libra. Okay, uh-huh. Saturn's in Libra now. But the thing is that wherever Saturn goes, and you had some hefty Saturn cycles over the last, say, 6 years on the moon and the sun, then Saturn is a kind of disciplinarian. It can be very good from a higher learning and mentoring and teaching level to sort of strengthen who you are in a practical level. But if people don't want to become more practical and logical and focused and grounded, because it is a kind of taskmaster energy, then that leads toward the shadow side of Saturn, which is pessimism. Or it starts with realism, then it gets into pessimism, and then the lower level is depression. And if people think too far, then they get into a difficulty. And then when you deal with dollars and cents and money and what can I afford and what kind of lifestyle, Saturn can be a drag there. But some of the charts I've studied of the wealthier people in the world, the George Lucases, the Steven Spielbergs, even I believe in the chart I looked at for Michael Jackson, a lot of these people are born with Saturn in, say, the second house of money. And if you went into an astrology cookbook approach, they might say that's very difficult, whereas a lot of people can make millions, if not billions of dollars, through a conservative Saturn focus. So you've had a lot of Saturn.
My Saturn Mars is in the second house, too, yeah.
And Mars rules your chart. You want to start watching Mars. And all of you Scorpio strong people, rising and sun sign, start watching Mars more as a sort of planet of initiative and drive and passion and channeling your passions, and don't always look at slow-moving Pluto because it doesn't always rule everything.
Mark, December 21st, 2012. What do you think?
Yes.
What's that? Ominous? Positive? What?
I am an eternal optimist, George. I am an eternal optimist. So I would tend to see new birth and opportunities. I think 2012, the whole year, I mean, there's going to be other things astrologically from the traditional bag of astrology tricks where Neptune's moving. Neptune's going to go from Aquarius into Pisces. That is a big change because Neptune has a lot to do with the sign Pisces. So we might be seeing the summer of 2012, you know, things like greater amount of hurricane strength, things like that as the waters get whipped up, those kind of things. So I think Earth changes could be happening even before that. And when we come back, also, we might toss in something about what may happen here with gold and silver, possibly, because I do think commodities are set to really get moving here, you know, once again.
Even more than they've been moving. Let's go to Wilda in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hey, Wilda,
hello.
Go ahead. Hi.
Hello, George.
Hello.
I'm not expecting you this Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're the one who invited me over for Thanksgiving. That's right. We had turkey, didn't we?
No, yeah, we didn't have any.
But I was a no-show.
You didn't show. Well, what my problem is not a problem. My husband and I are in our early 80s. And we have a house, a townhouse that's paid for. We don't have a money problem or anything. But my sister, who died 5 years ago, she has a son who's retiring next year. He wants to build a large house in Kansas City, and he wants us to come and live with them. And I never had children, only poodles. And I don't know about living with somebody else. However, he says, he will make our own quarters to our satisfaction and have anything we want there.
Hey, well, do you have to sell your place and put
yes.
any money into the deal or what?
No. I'll just sell it. He doesn't ask for anything.
Oh, all right. Well, that's good. You know, it's tough to sell in Las Vegas right now.
I know it is. I didn't sell it. I donated it to Catholic Charities.
Well, good for you.
But I just...
I'm Catholic.
Would that be, you're Catholic?
Yeah.
Well, I think that would
sort
do
of.
Good.
No, I'm serious. If you want to do that for something, that's a pretty good cause. Mark?
Yeah, I think so too, but I just, would we be making a mistake, do you think, to plan a move? It would be a couple of years before.
Now, Mark, I don't know if you can give her advice on that.
No,
can you?
Well, I'll tell you, the three being the areas that are the hardest to talk about, and usually I don't tell family, clients, or anybody, certainly on the radio, would be when to go on a plane trip, when to have a surgery of any kind. And the real estate market, while it can be analyzed somewhat about when generally it is okay or try to sell or buy, the problem is with things like closing dates and, you know, 45 days from this point or whatever it is before something closes, the astrologer has to be very much in touch with the client. You have to almost go on a day-by-day basis. When are you going to sign something? You know, what's the offer? When are you going to meet for the first time about a house? It's very complex.
Absolutely. My advice, well, then look, if you like Las Vegas, you've got your bills paid, stay. If you want to go to Kansas City, well, move on and have some fun, too. We'll be back. Well, here's a look ahead on the rest of Coast to Coast programs this week. Julian Cribb joins us as we talk about what he believes to be a worldwide famine by the mid-century. Then on Thursday, Yvonne Smith joins us, an incredible story about UFO and abduction cases, followed by Friday, back to open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Mark Lerner. We'll take the rest of your phone calls as well right here on Coast to Coast AM. If people want to learn astrology, Mark, what do you recommend?
Well, we actually have a school of planetary studies that I created back in the 80s, and it's a series of 36 one-hour cassette tapes, and people can learn that way. It's on the left side of the Earth Aquarius News website. So that's one thing people can learn in their spare time. If they have a cassette player of any kind, they can put in their car, if they're going on trips or just at home, they can learn astrology through these different lessons. And otherwise, going to a website like mine, if people email me, I can always give them a recommended reading list of some good beginner books, things like that. I also, before going to the next caller, I just want to mention, you know, a lot of people this summer, there were some spectacular intense alignments, and a lot of people were very fearful of something happening. We could still have on September 23rd of this month, there's a full moon, George, and it's right on the, what we call the equinoxes, the zero Aries Libra cosmic sort of portals in the zodiac. And so people need to watch both the next full moon, which is September 23rd, and then particularly in America, regarding the upcoming Saturn cycle, where Saturn's coming back, the new moon of October 7th is exactly on America's Saturn. So we do have some big things happening with new and full moons in the near future, too.
Okay, great. Let's go to final calls here, Mark. We'll go to Gregory in Reno, Nevada. Hi, Gregory. Go ahead.
Hi, George. Hi, Mark. Thank you for taking my call tonight.
Sure thing.
Just a quick question for you, Mark. Would you happen to know if there are more anything about positive and healing energy vortexes, specifically like in the Florida coastal area versus where I'm currently at in Reno? I was just wondering if you know anything about positive and higher energy vortexes in those areas, especially Florida coast, versus Reno, Nevada.
Okay, well, there's sort of a combined question here. There are these places that have their natural energies that might be better for some people or another. But in astrology, the way I would work with it and the way most professionals work with it is through what's called astrocartography. If you know your birth time, you go to a person like myself and you can set up a thing where you have your birth chart and where you're currently living, and then we can look at different longitudes and latitudes. And if those are, if you're interested in an area on the coast, east coast or west coast of Florida or south coast or wherever it is, then we can move your chart. Your chart actually changes as you travel, or if you relocated from wherever you were born or where you're currently living, and then we can see what planets are prominent in that area. I mean, I had a client one time who was born in California, lived her whole life in California. She went to Florida because the job was there. Everything started getting terrible. There was a breakup with a boyfriend. Some other really sad and difficult things happened. And part of the thing was I had said, this is an area you have to be very careful because Mars is exactly on the line of energy, and Mars can be very counterproductive, let's say, on a positive relationship level. And when everything was going, and the interesting thing was it was all regarding the men in her life. Her father and her weren't getting along, her husband and her weren't getting along, her boss, who was a man, wasn't happy with her. She wound up moving back to California. But there may be several places on the whole Earth, and there may be a half dozen or more around the United States that could be more beneficial than where you're living based on astrology.
Okay, and second part of my question, I was just kind of curious about how the the conjunction and oppositions, coming up, in general, would tend to affect us Cancers. I tend to hear through the grapevine that it can be a bit of a challenge for us water signs, especially Cancers.
Right. Well, what's happening is that Pluto is now in Capricorn, and it moves very slowly. When the United States came into being, which is we are a Cancerian country, the United States, because it's a July 4th baby, and so I watched that chart a lot, and many professional astrologers like myself know that we have 13, we've already gotten through four of them, 13 oppositions from the slow-moving outer planet Pluto to Venus, Jupiter, and the Sun in Cancer in America's birth chart. Now, those planets are in the early and middle regions of the sign of Cancer. So any sun sign person like yourself, a sun sign Cancer person, or if a person out there has planets in the sign of Cancer, you're getting kind of attacked, quote unquote, by Pluto through what we call the opposition aspect. And an opposition aspect is pretty tumultuous. It usually represents forces beyond your control that are often mysterious and unseen and hard to figure out. And that's what causes worry and stress, because you don't get a clear read on who or what is actually doing the attacking. Okay, it's kind of similar to what we have going on over the last 10 years with Al-Qaeda, where it's not a traditional war. It's not one country versus another. People are all over the place. You don't know where they are, you see. So it's kind of plutonic in that way, and Cancerians are getting the full force of Pluto opposing your sign.
Okay, very good. Next up, we go to Mike in Miami, Florida. Mike, thank you. Go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good.
Okay.
I had a question. If there was ever just like a mass focus of conscious energy on a certain outcome or goal, how successful would that be? And then I had a follow-up.
I'm not exactly sure. You mean like using astrology possibly, or using an auspicious date in order to make something happen?
Maybe even the best example would be like the Rosicrucian method of meditation, you know, mass meditation on a certain, like, you know, world peace.
Well, I definitely am a full believer. And when I lived at Findhorn in Scotland, which is a marvelous community, still going strong after, 48 years about. I once was part of a meditation that I organized on a specific day in order to sort of create a meditative alignment, literally hooking up to the star Sirius, the brightest star in the heavens, in order to sort of open up a kind of gateway of creativity and a spiritual flowering for the people involved and in their lives and for the community as a whole. So I definitely believe that meditation, for instance, there are ongoing full moon meditations for those people who believe that at the full moon every month there's a kind of higher love energy and a light and wisdom that can come through. And there are many, many groups around the planet, and maybe in near where you're living. In a lot of the big cities in America and around the world, there are these gatherings, and one way or another, you can find out about them, be a part of something like that.
Okay.
All right, great. Thanks. By the way, text message in. Daniel from Grand Rapids, Michigan wants to know if there's anything special coming up for Libras.
Okay, well, October, let me get this out because I wanted to say this for a while. We've been throwing around this commodity thing. The asteroid Ceres, the largest asteroid, which sort of a number of years ago, remember when Pluto was made a dwarf planet, George?
Yep.
The astronomers in the Czech Republic, at the end of one of their meetings 4 years ago, they relegated Pluto to being a dwarf, but they raised Ceres back up as the largest asteroid, and so Ceres got sort of promoted upward from being an asteroid to being a dwarf planet. Well, Ceres has a lot to do with commodities. On October 19th, which is going to be the 23rd anniversary of the stock market crash of 1987, if we go back to that Black Monday kind of thing, when the market fell, what was it, like 500-plus points, the Dow Jones, we have a really powerful wave of energy that comes in Tuesday, October 19th, and that's during Libra time. And the New York Stock Exchange, by the way, has a lot of Libran planets in it. So while I can't give an answer to every sun sign Libra, there is going to be a major event in and around October 19. Now, I just have a feeling that commodities are going to start really picking up, gold, silver, platinum, and so on, even more than they have been. And that wave could, you know, I mean, people need to be careful, and they need to talk to their financial advisors and so on. But that's going to be a powerful event in and around the 19th of October. It'll be interesting to see, you know, whether the market goes up or down and how far around the 19th of October.
Okay, let's go to Alexandria, Louisiana. It's got to be Cornelius.
Hey, George, God bless you.
There
I was just
are.
Watching Ancient Aliens on the History Channel, so I saw you again. And
I think
Mark, God bless you too, sir, and Tommy, your skull screener, and all the Coast to Coast listeners. And
okay.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, are the Saints going to win the Super Bowl this year? So I'm going to take my answer off here. God bless both of y'all.
Now, I don't know if you do sports at all, Mark, do you?
My life is so filled with sports. This is the great love of my life from when I was a child. And so when I got into astrology, I mean, I have worked with every possible tool you can imagine, believe me. I mean, you can do this. I mean, it is doable. What you do is, and this goes back to one of the earliest books I ever got. I'm not saying this is easy, but it is intriguing. What you do is, let's say the Super Bowl. So you get the exact time. You got two teams, right? Now, of course, if you can research things like when the team was first founded or was bought or whatever it was, that might be an initial birth chart of the team per se, or you could actually go back to the first game they ever played, which would be another birth chart.
Mm-hmm.
But for the game itself, one team is usually considered the home and the other one is considered the away team or the rival. And so you sort of divide a horoscope wheel of 12 houses into two halves, where the right side of the chart becomes one energy field of one team, and the left side becomes the other, and you have to sort of analyze the chart. But it's something that often can be worked out in things like the World Series for baseball or a Super Bowl, kind of a one-time deal. So it is kind of something that some people could actually work with astrologically.
Interesting. All right. So we've seen a lot of movements within this country for specific issues. Do you see these groups getting stronger as we get close to the election?
You mean movements politically, the Tea Party kind of thing? Or?
Those kind of groups, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm doing a lot of research right now. I don't want to spoil it because I have an article that I'm about to put in as a top story that has a lot to do with the Tea Party and things. But I find it really fascinating because this anti-taxation kind of thing, again, like we said earlier, part of this is because we have Pluto opposing the United States, Venus, Jupiter, and Sun from literally just after President Obama took office and continuing all the way to like 2015. No matter who was going to be president, George, these issues would have come up. There is a kind of destiny effect, and I believe like there is a reason why Obama is in office, and I can understand it with his chart. Doesn't mean he's going to do well or do poorly. That has a lot to do with who his staff is and whether Republicans and Democrats can get along or not. We've had so many intense alignments, planets like Saturn and Uranus going opposite five times. Now we have Jupiter and Saturn, the two largest planets this year, into early next year going opposite three times. When you see all this fighting, I mean, I know we've had other epics in history of the Republicans, Democrats, and the political people mm-hmm. fighting, but this has really been, I think, as when we look back on it, the astrology shows the intensification of anger between the parties, and this is what's opening the door to a conservative movement that's beyond politics. That the Tea Party thing is somewhat beyond politics, in my estimation. It is more of a kind of beginning of a radical.
It's an issue. It's a deep issue, isn't it?
It's a deep issue, and it can't just be thrown away through the regular media where they, you know, will look kind of askance at some of the people and so on. Of course, they're going to be fringe people in any movement at the beginning, but there is a lot of soul and spirit and very important kind of things because, as you know, things like the Federal Reserve and some gold standard and what's happening economically is propelling people to want to take back their lives and not feel as if, you know, everything they've ever done for themselves or their homes, you know, which has caused this latest thing the last few years where home values have so deteriorated. This is creating just such a, it's like a knife in the heart of the American people. And that's why this is an uprising, you know, coast to coast.
Let's go next to Anchorage, Alaska. Amber's with us, first time caller. Hey, Amber.
Hi. I had two really quick questions
sure.
for you so somebody else can get in. The first one is, okay, I was born 6 days, 6 months at 6:23 in the morning. And I feel like my entire life I've been pretty well cursed. I have catastrophically bad luck. And it's a little more than just Gemini bad luck. I was wondering, as Gemini's age, does that ever kind of iron itself out? And the second one was, I'm hoping that before we wipe ourselves off the planet, we will manage to actually get into space and do something constructive. And I was thinking, if we do make, say, a space station or a voyage to Saturn or a different planet like Mars or Saturn, do you think that being so close to one of those different planets would have, you know, any kind of effect on a person's chart or an effect that would be different than if they were on Earth?
Well, okay, now apparently you said you were born June 6th, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, well, the thing is, look, George, the numerology lady comes on and she talks about sixes and all the different numbers.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Now, anyone born June 6th, so you've got the two sixes. Six is a power number, but it's also the first perfect number in the Pythagorean numerology. So it is a potential number of harmony. But if somehow or another, I don't think it has anything to do with the sixes in your chart. You probably have alignments that are going on at your birth that are independent of that, that are creating the challenges and the difficulties. So I would not put it on the sixes, okay? The only thing is that people who have six very strong love harmony and balance so much, or desire it so much in their life, that they're more sensitive than the average person. But I'd have to see the whole chart to make an analysis. The as far as going to another planet, I would definitely, I think when we go to Mars, which should be the focal point, you know, it's ridiculous to focus on humans going to Saturn or Jupiter or anything far away. We should be focused on humans going to Mars, as I'm sure so many people in the Coast to Coast listening audience would love. And we should go to those places that Richard Hoagland is always talking about. I mean, why not do that? I mean, that would be the ultimate thing, wouldn't it be, George?
We need a goal, don't we? We need a goal.
Just like John F. Kennedy said, well, we will land a man on the moon, and we'll do it within this decade, and we did it.
And we did it.
There's no reason why not. And he was the sun sign Gemini, and he had that idea. He would keep coming up with different ideas, and we need people who were able to do that.
Let's see if we go to Leesport, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Get a real quick one from you, Mary. Go ahead.
Good morning, George. I've been listening to you for about 10 years.
Thank you.
And my son turned me on to you when he was a truck driver. And my question is, December 21st, with people born on the same day, what connection would that have?
All right, that's a good question, Mark. 40 seconds.
All right, 40 seconds. Look, December 21st of every year is the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. It's the beginning of a very spiritual energy. Capricorn, which is that energy, is not just Christmas and materialism. It's really on a much higher level of what we call the birth of the Christ energy, or of what we might call universal love and wisdom. So this whole, I think it's really fascinating. December 21, 2012, maybe the end of the old Mayan 5,000 plus year cycle, but it could be the beginning of a rebirth into something very spiritual. That's the way I want to see it.
All right, my friend Mark, you take care, and we'll be talking to you in the not too distant astrological future.
Thanks so much, George.
Mark Lerner's website, earthaquariusnews.com, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy and Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we will see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.